This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise. And Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library, who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host. So glad that you're with us this morning on WGTD HD Public Radio. I have two really special guests today. With me are Jake Gerges and Dawn Kelly. And both of them have been friends of mine for a very long time. Total transparency here. Jake and I have worked together for more years than I think either one of us wants to recall. And we are going to talk about some of the pieces of the work that he and I have done together. We're going to talk about GEDs. We're going to talk about HSEDs. We're going to talk about some special programming that's going on in Racine in particular. So really what we're talking about today is education for those folks who may not have finished high school for whatever reason. And Jake, what I'd love for you to do is kind of give us a little history of, now we all know about the GED. That's how folks who didn't graduate from high school can earn their equivalency diploma in sort of that traditional way of either taking classes or studying and taking a lot of tests. But there's other ways that folks can do that. And I wish you would talk a little bit about that, please.
Yeah. So again, I'm Jake Gerges. I am the senior program director for the YWCA. And thanks for having us. First of all, Marcia and I do go back nearly 20 years working in adult education. Initially, though, the way that we met each other, though, was I was at a different position at a different employer. And Marcia was just coming in to teach, and she was teaching for a high school equivalency diploma program, or HSED. Sometimes people refer to this as a 509, and that's just a state code, so it's a little bit of the same stuff. Let's fast forward a little bit to 2014, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, the GED test aligned with the Common Core state standards. And since that's been changed to the College and Career Readiness Standards, but it's still the basic same principles that's trying to get people up to a higher tier of education because of the reduction in the amount of people that are going to work. Somebody said once to me, and one of the things Marcia put together for a different job, was that we're going to have to do more with less people at a higher quality and at a quicker pace. So that's where you see some of the disconnect right now when you're working with your kids and they're trying to do their Common Core math. And you have no clue what's happening, don't worry, there's a lot of that going around. With that alignment came a higher expectations of what a high school diploma is. So the GED went from an old testing series that was measured against something different to something that's measured against the Common Core state standards. At that time, In 2013, we had about 425 graduates from our GED program. The following year, we went to 9.
That was a big, big surprise to all of us, yes.
What we came to find out was that people were only missing it by a few points. And oftentimes, it wasn't a gap in knowledge. It was that they didn't understand what they were truly being asked. And how many times have you seen that? You know, you did the spelling words with the kids and they'd go in and they just wouldn't pass the test. Mm-hmm. And you said you knew this before you went in. Well, there's test anxiety. There is a lot of different wording. But what we wanted to do was we wanted to ensure that people had an option that was attainable, but still at a really high rigor.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a program for the YWCA Southeast Wisconsin that checks off every single box that someone needs for a high school diploma. So it's compared against the high school standards of the state of Wisconsin. It's also does the same as the GED. So it measures all of the skill sets needed to obtain both of those. But what we do is we break it over a time period that allows people to ask, well, what do you mean by that? So they work on the learning objectives that go up to the standards. And I don't want to get too dorky about all of this, right? But there are outcomes that they're trying to measure against. And I use the term fromage grillé. So if we were to measure the standard of cooking, and I said, all right, we're going to go here. This is your, I'm going to test you right now. Make a fromage grillé.
Well, I know that's cheese, but I don't know what the rest of it is.
it's a terrible French translation, actually, because there is no such thing for grilled cheese.
Oh.
But I think that asking that same question, right, to somebody that's very well-versed, but simply it was phrased in a way that they didn't understand.
Right.
Our program allows them to ask, well, what do you mean by that? And they can ask that as many times as they want throughout the whole program, because we're measuring their skill set against the standard, not their understanding of the words that are around it.
Can you talk a little bit about the kinds of subjects that are included in the Common Core / you know, whatever the term du jour is today, the things that make it align with the high school education?
Yeah, so the program that we offer that's written to these as well, it offers reading or language arts, which goes through the grammatical English, but we also incorporate visual literacy, graphic literacy, and workforce literacy into the program. So we have transferable skill sets that people demonstrate, not only academic proof that they know this, but they can apply that academic proof to the workforce. They have to study social studies. So inside the social studies subject area, there is civics, there's economics, United States history, world history. There's talk about laissez-faire government versus more social constructs. In science, it covers all of the three big math or the big science areas, right? So there's earth and space science in it. There is measurements, different scientific calculations. People are doing science experiments in the classrooms. They're well-rounded programming for each subject area. Math. Yep. There's still math. Right.
Yep. There is.
And Dawn later is our math expert, so she's helped a lot of people get through this program by just knowing a couple of tricks here and there. But it goes from adding, subtraction, multiplication, division, fractions, decimals, proportions, ratios, some geometry, some algebra, and the goal here is to not break off into specialties, but to keep it at the highest level in plateau, so people can bridge off of that as they go forward in either their education or through the workforce. There's also a civics test that needs to be completed, and there is a health class that just talks about general overall health and how we can be, you know, how we can mitigate some of this risk factors that we have, and some of the stuff that, you know, we just need to hedge our bets because it's genetics.
Right. Very good. Yeah, to be totally honest, I never taught math and I never taught science, all for very good reasons, I might add. So we're really glad that Dawn is with us today. But yeah, the civics test is really the 100 question civics test, isn't it? Still? It's what folks who are becoming American citizens take. And what most of us, without studying, probably would have some trouble with. So, yeah, it's a wonderful curriculum, and as Jake said, it makes so much sense in people's lives because they can see where it fits. And Jake, can you talk a little more about the connection of that to workforce, and what else you may have included?
One thing that I've heard over the years, and in the programs that I've managed and created, have graduated thousands of people, probably close to 3,000 people, in Southeast Wisconsin, it was always, okay, well, they have the academic skill set, but, you know, the big comma in the but, right? Do they know how to apply that to the stuff at work? Mm-hmm. We incorporated ACT's work keys and National Career Readiness Certification into the curriculum. And what that does is it shows direct transferability from academic learning to actually the workforce and how it applies. So when we get somebody out of here, you know, people without a high school diploma are most often the people that have had issues with work in the past, right? They've been the first one to get released. They're the hardest, you know, it's the hardest to find a job. So how can we show that people are ready? They're academically ready, but they also can apply it to the workforce. So there's different levels of certification that they can get, which can add a gold would be an entry, or I'm sorry, a bronze would be an entry level individual. A silver might be starting to look at management. Gold is management, and platinum is crazy ridiculous. And I didn't score on that high, so I'm just gonna tell you that right now.
Either.
But think about this when you're looking at as an employer looking to try to find new people. How can you know that the people have already been here, right? Well, they came to our program the whole time. They're going to come to work because they've already demonstrated that over the course of this program. How do we know that they have the base level of information that specialties can be added to? Because they've demonstrated that they have the transferable skills to go to the workforce.
Right. Makes all the sense in the world. You touched on something earlier, and I want to unpack this a little bit more. Those students who had trouble, test anxiety. I have a daughter who had terrible test anxiety all through school, grade school, high school, college. And how the 509 or this HSED program really helps folks like that. And, you know, and we haven't used the term portfolio experience or portfolio assessment, but that's really what this is. Can you talk a little bit about how students build these portfolios during their 509 experience?
Absolutely. The instructors that we have are both from Gateway Technical College and Milwaukee Area Technical College, so they're professors in their subject areas. They're teaching the program, and as the students acquire skill sets, there are artifacts that are taken out of the work. Some of them are more constructed than others. I know a math person one time had somebody renovate their bathroom. So they were clipping the stuff out of Home Depot ads and truly the measurements of their bathroom. And you had unlimited budget. So they would find the material that they were going to put on the walls, and they were putting plasma TVs in there, right? You know, because you could spend anything you wanted. So what they do, though, is much like a Renaissance painter, you see progression as they move forward, right? So there's going to be some incorrect works as we build up, right? But we start at the basic foundations of each subject area, and as they grow in the academic area, you see a different tier of work. So there's artifacts placed in for each standard. And then there's a bunch of assignments that aren't in these things because, you know, you don't need every multiplication table being filled out. But how they apply that is then recorded, documented, and it's available for, you know, any oversight for the program, which adds a layer of validity to it.
Right, right. We would collect things like speeches that they gave on a certain subject or a research paper they did on a given subject in an area. It might be note cards that they kept in studying something. Rarely did we test, but boy, and we heard about it when we did, but occasionally we would give them quizzes to cover things. And so those were all the pieces of these portfolios. And Jake, it seems to me that you, as this chief examiner guy, you had to look at everything in those portfolios and then share it with the technical colleges to make certain that they truly did meet those standards. Is that right?
Yes. We're never going to negate a professor when they say that somebody's completed a program, right? But we need to ensure that the rigor is high enough that we feel comfortable signing ourselves that they do have the equivalent of a high school knowledge. So there have been tough conversations with technical college teachers, right, that said, yeah, that what you have in here is great, but you need to demonstrate, you need to take more artifacts so we can see the journey the student went through and not just a couple test pages. This is really, you know, maybe I'm not using this term perfectly, but like, we want the neurons in people's brains to connect and web. So we're not trying to do worksheets. You know, what worked with that big overall project, like I was telling you about remodeling the bathroom, is that they're doing geometry.
Yeah.
They're doing basic adding and subtraction. They're doing multiplication on how many tiles they need. And all of this is creating a web of connected academic pieces that when you go to draw upon them, it's going to create a much bigger web. So they're going to pull up more information easier because of the way it's connected. And I was going to use the term neuroplasticity, but I didn't want
Ooh,
to.
I love that term. Well, before we bring Dawn into the conversation, can we talk a little bit about where people who might be interested in learning more about the HSCD programs, where they can, first, where those programs are located, and second, how they can connect to those programs if they themselves are looking at completing some credential or if they know someone?
Yeah. The easiest way to sign up for an orientation, which is pretty much just a conversation that we have about the programming we have, we still do GED testing, so people that are ready to go, they can come in and take the GED test right away. Mm-hmm. One additional piece that you're going to have to redirect me back here, Marsha, I apologize because
okay.
I'm going to side tangent here for a second. If they pass some of the GED tests, those count as completions of the subject area. So when I tell you that we're not looking to hold on to people longer than we need to, we want them to be as successful as fast as possible. So anybody that has some of the GED tests passed since 2014, they count it as a past subject area. I wouldn't say the hardest subject in the GED is math, but...
It's the one that our students just struggled the most with, and their instructor did as well, I might add.
Yes, yes. So with that said, they're able to come in using the past knowledge that they've demonstrated on GED and only complete the subject areas that they're going to need as well, that the GED test might be more difficult.
Mm-hmm. So they can pass some of the tests, but then they can use this portfolio experience to get through the other areas. Now, what are the areas that are included? Math, science, reading,
social,
language arts.
And social studies. And then the health and employability pieces are the other ones.
Okay.
And they have that civics test. But
yeah, yes, of course. And that's a state thing. We'd have no control over that. So okay, good. Now where are these?
I want to add one thing here.
Okay, Dawn.
This summer we did add a little pre-course before everybody gets started in their health class of digital literacy.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Talk about a skill that you can apply anywhere.
We've been working with our partners at Gateway for a few semesters to get this set up so that our students start out before their very first class with the skills they need so that when we get into it, they're already ahead.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Great. So, Jake, let's go back to where are these programs available if someone is interested in this HSED/509 program?
We have programs that are operating out of Milwaukee, Racine, daytime, evening. We have this in English and Spanish. So when I say Spanish, it's exclusively Spanish, and it's not an ESL course per se.
Okay.
So, and then we also have this program being offered as a competency-based credit recovery program at Racine Unified School District.
Okay.
Horton Lake Park in Case.
What does that mean, credit recovery?
So instead of people dropping out of school and then attending our class. If they're 18 to 21, they can come to our program, and if they're formerly Racine Unified School Districts, once again, students between 18 and 21, if they complete our program, they can earn a high school diploma from their previous high school for Racine Unified School District.
Okay. Think a fifth-year senior. A fifth-year senior or a senior who's gotten to the end and they don't have the credits to finish, they can come to our program as a credit recovery.
Okay.
But inside of the school, before they lose the connection with the students, it's also offered there through high school teachers, the same curriculum, the same everything, but they demonstrate the work inside of their school as well.
Oh, great. Okay. We're going to come back and talk about much more of this, especially with you, Dawn. But if you're just joining us, my guests today are Jake Gerges and Dawn Kelly. We're talking about some very special programming for folks looking to complete their high school diplomas and or GEDs. And you're listening to Community Matters here on WGTD HD Public Radio. So Dawn, introduce yourself.
Hi, I am Dawn Kelly. I'm the I'm one of the managers at the YWCA for the Adult Ed program. I focus on enrollment, and I also work with the students at the end with compliance. So I get to see them when they're coming in, and then again at the graduation. So I get the bookends.
Oh, that's wonderful. And there is nothing as gratifying as those graduations.
Agreed. We just had one this summer with just over 70 summer's graduates.
That's incredible. That is just incredible. Yeah. Yeah. I have always been so touched, especially like for the 509 graduations. Mayor Mason comes. I mean, that means so much to us. And that's something that we're going to talk about as well. The Racine commitment to this sort of programming. And so let's talk a little bit about what your job entails and what you do.
Okay. So really quick background. When the program first came to Racine, I was the first math and science teacher with you.
Yes, you were.
And then when that program moved into nights, when we expanded to having night classes, I went and oversaw the night students. And then when we went into Spanish, that also fell under my umbrella. But now we've gotten a little, definitely a little lot larger. And so we have more pieces. And so now my role is to work with our enrollment team to ensure we're getting our students in, that they're doing their skill building when they need it. So I ensure that the students get the technology resources that they need and the skill building help that they need so that they're able to start classes. You mentioned the testing, how we don't do a lot of testing. Mm-hmm. And the one place traditionally that's always been the little sticky point is the entrance. Because students do need to show that they have the skills necessary to do this. These courses are accelerated with college-level instructors, so they need to show they have those skills. And for quite some time, it was testing-based, but we've now worked with our partners at Gateway to have a competency-based entry. So students that are coming in that have lower scores, that have test anxiety, we can have them take a two-week mini class at Gateway and work with a teacher one-on-one through a competency sheet to show that they have the skills necessary to go ahead and start classes without having to have the test anxiety that so many of our students struggle with.
Absolutely.
We work with Gateway. They can provide Chromebooks to our students. We've worked with Racine County, have provided us hotspots through their program. So we can ensure our students have laptops and hotspots for our virtual students.
Okay, and is that an option to attend virtually these classes?
So when COVID happened, we were 100% in person and very quickly went 100% virtual.
Right.
Giant learning curve all around. And over the past couple of years, we've tried to transition back to the classroom. And it's not happening. Everybody wants virtual. Our students find, I say everybody, there's a little but. Most of our students are, I want to do it from home. I have transportation issues. I work, my children, they have reasons that are legitimate to be at home. We also have students with mental health concerns, physical health concerns, where being in the home is where they need to be to get their education. So we find that being virtual does encompass a wide range of students that we weren't able to work with earlier. However, we still have, we still run one classroom now every year in the evenings in person, and that's through our United Way Community Schools.
Okay, now where is that located?
So this year it'll be at Mitchell. It'll be at Mitchell this year. We were at Knapp last year. I think we might go to Julian Thomas next year. So it does rotate around the city. This year we'll be at Mitchell School.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's really nice. The students get to go in person. There's no technology requirement in the home, so any technology they need will be in the classroom for them if they're going to use it with the teacher. And if you have school-age children, Mitchell also provides childcare for those students.
That is phenomenal. Yeah. Because that I know for a lot of women students, that's one of the things that holds them back.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I know a lot of students will say, oh, I think I can do it at home with my kids. And then they go, oh, it might be easier. And so this is a wonderful option.
That is phenomenal. I wasn't aware that that was even available. So that is
it
just.
It will be our third year.
Wow.
Yes.
That's good.
I have to make a small admission here. That when I first came to Racine, you know, Dawn, you two are very well versed in Racine in the area, but I was not, if I'm just going to be honest with you. And then everything we were filling out was west of the eye or east of the eye. And I didn't know how big of a deal that is.
Oh, it's an iron curtain.
But getting to resources, sometimes when you're west of the eye, where most of the resources are located, are very difficult. In Milwaukee, in one of the, you know, in a city that's one of the most segregated cities in the country, transportation's a big issue. And think about this, you know, time is people's only real currency. If you can't make more of it, you can't, you know, it's finite.
Right.
So think of the amount of time that people spent traveling to get stuff, get resources, and to attend school. That time's been given back. So continuing to do online schooling has saved people a lot of time. We still have options, obviously, to come in person, but the vast majority of our students have chosen to stay online, hence the reason why the digital literacy stuff has to get sorted out a little bit beforehand.
Of course, of course. So if I enter one of these programs, and you can pick which one, how long can I expect it to take for me to finish? From start to finish, I'm coming in. I haven't passed any tests. I'm ready to go. How long is this going to take?
Two semesters. So here is why I say this. If we're going to go into classes, Gateway has a 14-week semester, and we use the Gateway semester in Racine. I'm speaking for Racine on this one. Mm-hmm. Our classes take 16 weeks.
Right.
So we will always wrap into a second semester, but there's always those 2 to 8 weeks, depending on a student's needs, to get them ready into the classroom. And that's very individualized, very individualized. So 2 semesters is a solid answer that most people can get all of the work done with in, as long as life doesn't happen.
Right.
I want to interject here a little bit because that's like one of the scariest questions we get asked, right? Is how long is it going to take? As long as it needs or as short as it can be accomplished. People can test out of everything, right? If there's other options besides 509, if they want their high school equivalency diploma, if people come in, they can pass the test. There's no incentive for us not to get them tested, right? Mm-hmm. That's the fastest way for their success. So we've had people as little as 6 weeks that only needed the math and the health and employability. And we've had people that we've worked with for 2 years that we needed to get up to a certain skill set, but then they came in and they were successful. So, but there, my point is that there is no incentive for us to take longer. The fastest that this can be done is usually the process that it is. So 16, 17 weeks gone. I mean, if you look at the average time that people are in the class, you know, 20 weeks is a pretty standard answer as well. So the Milwaukee operation runs for on a different amount of hours per day. So you can say that, you know, probably 2 or 3 weeks to get going, and then there's a 20-week course. But it's all dependent on whether or not somebody's passed the test, hasn't, what skill set they're at. And sometimes we just tell them, you know, you need to get going. We think you can pass the language arts test and the social studies, and that'll shave off how many weeks, John?
5 for the language arts and 2 for the social studies, rounding up.
It always made me sad because they'd never come to me then. So, yeah, that's
but absolutely. I want to interject here that we don't force that on them either, because the testing anxiety is real. And it doesn't matter how high you score. If you say, I have test anxiety and I want to see the classroom, that we allow that choice.
That's wonderful. That is really, really good.
And there are a lot of people that could potentially pass the GD test that are in the program that want the classroom experience as well. They feel that that's something that they missed out on. It's that it's late September and I really should be back at school moment.
Sure.
And they want to complete that to fruition and the way they had in their head. So they come in and take the class, even though they might be able to pass the exams.
Now, are most of the students who participate in these various programs working full-time, part-time? Are they able to juggle it all?
There's no most. Everybody's different. You go into any classroom and every single person's got a different thing going. Some of our students are working full-time, raising children, trying to juggle everything. Some of our students are just 18, maybe a part-time job, just trying to get to where they know they should be, and everywhere in between. We had a recent grad who was retired, essentially, and had been trying, this has been a goal for 50 years for that student. And so there is no average person. A number of our students are working, some full part-time. A lot of our students are parents, some with infants, some with teenagers, some with both.
Math, statistically, the majority of our students are working, for sure. And they either want to improve their, you know, their status at their job, get a new job, potentially go to school. But just off the top of my head, I think it's 65% are employed and make more than $15 before coming in. So it's a self-improvement thing over everything else. They want to get this done because they got some kids creeping up on them, right? They're not gonna let their kids graduate first. And some people just have been offered jobs that you need this piece of paper in order to move forward.
Wow. Dawn, can you kind of paint a picture for us? If I'm coming to your program for the first time, what's it going to look like? What's it going to be like? What am I going to see? What am I going to do? Give us an average day or week.
Using your phone quite a bit to start. Most students do. And that's
using my phone for what?
Our orientations are virtual. We use FaceTime for the orientations. So you're going to start out and you're going to sign up. And maybe you'll use the website. Maybe you'll get one of our phone numbers and reach out. Maybe you'll get an email. Maybe you'll see us at one of the events. But your first step is you're going to do a virtual orientation. You're going to meet with one of our amazing enrollment staff members. And they're going to walk you through for an hour, and they're going to explain to you each stage of the program. Here's what to expect next. Here's what to expect to start. Here's what your classes look like. you're going to get a very broad overview, and then you're going to start. You're going to get an email, and it's going to tell you how to put in your intake and let us know you're really ready. Once that's done...
What kind of intake are you referring to?
It's a form you fill out about you. It's your demographic information. It's who you are. It's how we contact you. How long have you been working on this? How far did you get in high school?
Okay.
It's information we need so we know where to start with you.
So this is really tailored to each student.
Each student is going to work one-on-one with their orientation specialist until they're ready for the next stage. They're going to work one-on-one with them to get all of their paperwork done, to get set up with their initial testing so we can see where their skill set lays. They're going to start with one person, and that one person is going to work with them until they're ready for stage two. Do you need skill building, or are you ready for classes? At that point, you branch. You either go into the HSED side and you start getting your, do you need the computer? Do you need the hotspot? What do we need to get you set up? And let's get you registered for the next group. Or you're going to come to me and you're going to need some skill building. And you and I are going to sit down and we are going to custom tailor a plan for you to get you to the point where you need to be. And that might be getting you equipment sooner than later. That might just be, spend a weekend studying. You only need one point. Let's see if we can't get it. That might be one-on-one tutoring, either virtually or in person. But we are going to custom design what you need, and I will then work with you until you're ready to move on to that next stage. Let's get you registered. Let's place you into a classroom.
Wow. I had no idea, and I thought I knew all about this. That it was that personalized, that it was that focused on each individual student. So if I need a little extra hand-holding, and say I'm one of your older, and those were my most favorite students to work with, honestly, if I'm in my 50s or my 60s, but I just want to show my kids or my grandkids how important it is, you'll help me do that. You'll kind of hold my hand.
Well, we'll start holding your hand, but then we're going to explain to you how you also get to advocate for yourself to get to the next stage.
Nice. Nice.
We want you to do well on your own and with us, and so we will help you every stage of the way be able to be successful.
Okay, so you'll really help build people's confidence.
Lots of people, that is what they need first.
Yep,
for
sure.
For a lot of people, that's what they need first.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, you mentioned before we got started about Grow Racine. Tell us about Grow Racine and how you fit in and all of this fits into that.
You mentioned that graduation is one of your favorite events, and you mentioned that Mayor Corey Mason comes to our events, which he does. He spoke at the last one for us, actually. We love that the city is so involved, and the city has been one of our strongest supporters and greatest partners over the last few years. They've really embraced the need to have a population that has an education. And one of the things that's come out of this partnership is Grow Racine. And it has a number of different sides, but as far as HSED is concerned, they offer Racine residents, City of Racine residents. Let me be very clear there. It's not everybody, but you must live within the city limits. But City of Racine residents, if they're in the YWCA 509 program, can get up to $1,500 while attending school to support them.
Wow.
It's a scholarship. It's a scholarship program, but we don't charge anything, so the money is directly for our students. As they meet milestones and are passing their classes, the city provides them with those finances to help support their education.
So it can be used for anything? It doesn't have to be used for school related? It could for groceries to feed my kids or me not to have to work some overtime?
Yes. The point is to support the residents within the city so that they can successfully obtain their high school diplomas, their their credentials.
Okay. And that can happen in any of the programs that we talked about, right?
Now, that is for City of Racine residents only that are in YWCA 509 Racine.
Okay.
So it is an initiative of the mayor of the city to support city residents.
Of course. Makes sense. Makes sense.
Right.
Where are those 509 programs located again for the City of Racine?
We are virtual.
Okay, so as long as I live in the city, we can do it online.
As long as you live in the city, you can do it online, or the community school with United Way at Mitchell. So, we have online morning, evening, English, Spanish, and then an evening community school at Mitchell, which is right now this year in English.
Okay, and you say evening. What time does it start? What time is it over?
In person, 5 to 8, online, a half hour later.
Oh, okay. So even if I'm working, I can maybe even fit all this in.
Oh, yes. Many of our students come right from work into school.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. How long has this program been available, this Grow Racine? Do we know?
Grow Racine started in the spring of 2022.
Okay, so it's still new, but it has been around for a while, which means I bet there have been a lot of students who have taken advantage of the scholarship.
Quite a few.
Amazing. And if I live in the City of Racine, do I have to apply for the scholarship, or does it just happen?
You do. There is a website, and I believe it is growracine.org.
Okay.
And there's an application that you fill out, takes less than 5 minutes to fill out. And then if the city approves that your residency is within the limits, they'll contact you to let you know what comes next.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. I just can't think of a better incentive and a better reward for someone who's working so hard to to get it all together. Yeah. Well, we've got just a couple of minutes left, and so I want to talk about where people can go to find out more information about all of the programs that we've talked about today and who they might need to contact. So, Jake, do you want to kind of help us figure all that out?
For the most part, but Don's truly the expert on this, but the first thing I can tell you is that people can sign up for an orientation by going to YWCASEW, like Southeast Wisconsin. So YWCASEW.org/enroll. And that can get the process started, but that's sometimes intimidating. So Dawn, take it away.
That really is the best option, is to go to the website to sign up. A number of students find us through like I said, Grow Racine. If you go to the Grow Racine and sign up for that, they'll send the students straight to us.
And so if I just Google Grow Racine, it should come up?
Once you go and apply for that scholarship, the first thing you're going to get is an email telling you to come talk to us.
Got it.
Yes.
Well, this has been absolutely fascinating, and I have a feeling we have touched a lot of lives with a lot of information today, so I just can't begin to thank both of you enough for being with us. This has been absolutely wonderful, and I hope you see a big surge of new students wanting to know more about the program. So thank you.
Thank you for having us. This has been great.
Yeah, thank you.
So glad you could. And thanks to all of you who joined us today on Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, and we'll talk to you again next month.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
You're listening to WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News and Classical Music.